This is Psychopathology Talk Through 3, and we're going to be looking at the cognitive explanation to explaining and treating depression. Okay, so we're not going to have a look at the characteristics for depression because they're really simple, they're not complicated like OCD. We're going to go straight in with the explanation. Okay, so the cognitive approach to explaining depression is all to do with thinking. Because the cognitive approach, that's how it explains behaviour. So, it's therefore saying that depression is a result of faulty, irrational, maladaptive thinking, yeah? So, thinking that isn't as it should be. And that this negative thinking leads to depression. So, that's the gist of it. That's, if you were, you know, explaining the approach, that should be what you start with, the first sentence. And then there's different ways of looking at this kind of negative thinking. So, named in the spec is Ellis and Beck. So, you need to know both of their explanations. So, we'll start with Ellis. Okay, so Ellis's ABC model. Now, this you can use to explain how you might have two people in exactly the same situation. One may become depressed and one may not. And that is because it depends on whether their ABC model is rational or irrational. But before we look at the models, what makes your ABC model irrational? And Ellis talked about it being caused by masturbatory thinking, which comes from your childhood, so from parents, from teachers. And it's a set of beliefs that, irrational beliefs that some people have, that, you know, these beliefs that they have to fulfill them in order to be happy. So, for example, you know, I must do well at everything I do or I'm worthless, yeah? I must have everyone like me, and I must be approved of and accepted, otherwise I'm worthless. Yeah, so it's these kind of, this is where the masturbatory thinking comes from. Now, the issue with this is that nobody is going to do very well at everything. Yeah, and if you don't do very well in an exam or a test, that doesn't mean you're worthless or a failure. It just means that, you know, that particular test you didn't do well, maybe you didn't revise enough, maybe, you know, you had a bad day, that kind of thing. So, whereas if someone had masturbatory thinking, then they would think, that's it, I'm worthless. And this is where this irrational ABC model comes from. Okay, so you've got your ABC model. What does that stand for? So A is the activating event. So just imagine you've got your person with depression, your person without depression. The event, you fail an exam. So the B is the belief that comes from that event. Yeah, so a rational belief, you know, you didn't, you know, you go and do your mini mock and you get an E when really you wanted to get an A. So a rational belief would be, all right, okay, yeah, let's be honest, I didn't do very much revision. I'm a bit disappointed, you know, I didn't do very much revision, but I did well the last two tests, and, you know, I'm just maybe this, you know, cognitive psychology is my weakness. However, if you have an irrational ABC model, then the irrational belief that comes out of that might well be, I'm no good at psychology, I'm rubbish at psychology. And then the emotion, the C, the consequence is how you feel, yeah, and what you do. And so, you know, a person suffering from depression or having an irrational ABC model, the consequence of them failing their exam is that, you know, they believe that they're a failure, they feel upset, they get depressed about it, and maybe then the consequence of that is that they stop doing any work at all, maybe they drop out of psychology. Just because of that one event. Whereas if you have a rational ABC model, then yes, you're going to feel disappointed, and yes, you're going to feel upset by the fact that maybe you got an E, but you would realise that, okay, you know, actually I only did 1 hour, 1 hour of revision, I need to do that. It's not that I'm rubbish at psychology, it's just that I need a bit of help, I'll ask the teacher, it will all be fine. Whereas if you had an irrational ABC model, it could lead to depression. And that is Ellis. Now, Beck's is slightly more complicated. Now, his is Beck's cognitive triad. Now, don't get that confused with part of his cognitive triad that's called the negative triad. Yeah, that so the negative triad is part of the cognitive triad. So Beck, again, it's all to do with thinking. So he believed, again, that a depressed person has like bias thinking and they interpret things in a negative way. But how does this all start? Okay, so it's in three bits, hence it being called a triad. It starts when you're a child by forming negative self schemas, which is how, you know, remember, a schema is how you interpret the world. And you can develop negative unhealthy schemas if parents, teachers, authority figures are very, very highly critical of you, expect too much of you, which results in you seeing the world, seeing yourself actually, and in a negative way. So the kind of examples of these negative schemas would be self-blame schema, where, you know, you blame yourself for everything, and ineptness schema, which is that, you know, if you expect to fail in everything you do, everything's my fault. So childhood gives you these negative self schemas that come from the people around you, basically. And then as you grow up, these negative schemas turn into cognitive biases. And this is when depressed people look at certain situations and really only focus on the negative, hence negative biases, called negative cognitive biases. And you've got some examples like overgeneralization, which is, you know, you make sweeping conclusions based on one single event. You know, again, which we talked about with the ABC model, you fail one mini mock in psychology and then you think that that is evidence that you're rubbish at psychology, so you want to go and you're going to go and ask to drop it. Catastrophizing is another one, which is, you know, basically making a mountain out of a molehill. So something really small happens and you just think it's like the worst thing in the world. You know, I think the example they give you in the pack is you make a mistake at work and you think you're going to get fired. Yeah. So the negative self schemas lead to these cognitive biases. And then lastly, these self schemas and cognitive biases lead to your negative triad. Yeah, so those two lead to this. They kind of link, really, the three of them. And if you have these, you know, you blame yourself for things, you see yourself in a negative way, you make negative overgeneralizations about things, and it means that the way you see yourself is negative, the way you see the world is negative, and so therefore the way you see your future is also going to be negative. And this is a triad here, yeah? So you see yourself as worthless and hopeless and to blame for everything because you have your negative self schemas. This then means that when you think about your future, because you think you're worthless, that you think that you basically, your future is also going to be bleak, that you know you're not going to be able to, you know, you're not going to be a success in anything that you do, that you're always going to, you know, I'm useless now, I'm going to be useless in the future, which then leads to you seeing the world, you know, if that's how you feel about yourself in the future, then you're going to see the world as a very hot, cold, dark place. Lack of, you know, the world is like, has no hope, you know, there's no point in anything. And that obviously is me explaining depression to you. You know, I'm no good, the future's no good, and the world's no good. So that's Beck's cognitive triad. So you can be asked separately about Beck or Ellis, so you do need to know them. And then the treatment. Now, in the spec, it just says CBT, including challenging irrational thoughts. So you actually don't need to know Beck and Ellis separately. But because we've learnt their explanation, we've got them in the pack there. So you can just talk about CBT generally. So CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy, is a very, very successful way of treating depression, actually not just depression, but lots of other kind of psychopathologies as well. It's used for loads and loads of different things. It's really successful. So the cognitive element, so if we know that depression is caused by negative thinking, then CBT, what does it do? It changes that negative thinking, that negative irrational thinking, and makes it rational and positive. Now, what's the B bit? So the behavioural bit is the therapist also might get you to work on kind of behavioural things. So getting you to be more active, engaging more activities, kind of to match those irrational thoughts. So both Beck and Ellis's therapy involve those, yeah. So CBT generally involves this challenging irrational thoughts. So what do you have to do first of all? Well, obviously with your therapist, you would need to meet and find out what your irrational thoughts are, what those issues are, yeah. And then set a plan of action of how you're going to churn them or change them around. Now, in order to change them, your therapist needs to have evidence. Because they can do it rationally just by kind of looking at things logically, but also they might go and get you to keep a diary and then look through it, so they can kind of look at it and go, well, look, this happened here and this was positive. So that's kind of how it kind of works. Now Ellis's CBT has got a name. It's called REBT. And it extends on this ABC model, so it's an easy one to learn. So you know the A, the B and the C. So the D, so it's A, B, C, D, E. The D is where you dispute the irrational beliefs, yeah? So D stands for dispute. And how do you do this? Okay, so this involves the therapist either doing it logically disputing, which is, you know, showing the patient that actually that what they're saying makes no kind of logical sense, you know, like, oh, I'm a failure. Okay, tell me why do you think you're a failure? Then I fail everything. And them saying, well, actually, I know that this isn't true. I've got logical evidence for this because you've told me that you're doing A levels and you got six A's for your GCSEs. Logically, what you're saying doesn't make sense to me. There's empirical dispute as well, which is where you ask the patient for proof of that. So you give me some evidence, give me some more evidence that, you know, you're telling me that you're worthless. This is where the diary can come in as well, because you can look back at the diary and say, oh, look, but you know, you've written here that you got an A in your essay, but you're just telling me that you fail at everything. So that's the kind of the D. And then the E, which is the effect, is that by replacing these irrational thoughts with rational ones, then effectively it's going to have an effect on you and your thoughts, and you're now going to have rational thoughts, and therefore it's your depression will start to reduce. Now CBT takes time, yeah, it takes time, it takes effort from the client, because, you know, they need to go away and keep diaries and come back for many sessions, and so it's not always appropriate for people suffering with very, very severe depression who wouldn't be able to engage in this. And this is where, you know, in your evaluation, you can see that a combination of CBT and maybe biological therapies might be more effective. But having said that, as a singular therapy for depression, CBT is, you know, one of the most effective and long-lasting types of therapies out there.